Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here. And that's a Beezer day, Lord. And thank you very much for that too. And everything we've been able to get done. Please bless this time in your house, Lord. And Father, wherever your children are, our brethren are, I pray, Lord, that you would bless the time spent in your presence. Please, Lord, I pray for Israel right now. I pray that you bless and preserve and keep, protect them in whatever form or fashion and many supernatural ways, Lord, please. Thank you for allowing those four hostages to be retrieved there just the other day. Please, Lord, I pray you. Get more out. I pray you too for Donald Trump in America and Nigel Farage in this country. I pray you, Lord, for another chance for the Western world. In the meantime, Father, let us keep our eyes upon you. And whether we're praising you, thanking you, Lord, and sometimes we're complaining to you about the way things go, but Lord, let us always remember to keep in touch with you. Bless us now, Father. Please be one of our number. And please, Lord, I pray you, answer our private prayer requests according to your will. We love you and thank you. Amen. 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 All right, let's sing. God, we'll start with Count Your Many Blessings. Number. I've got the glasses on and can actually see. I think these ones might be even stronger than your threes, Norman. These might be like 15s. And number 439. There we go. Suddenly everything. Let's make a joyful noise for Count Your Many Blessings.
Thank you. to start with.
Amen.
We're switching books. I'd like to take and turn to the black book. And sing God Be With You Till We Meet Again at the End. And we will sing that other one. There was, what was the other pick? Pardon?
29.
Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Was 19 picked as well? There we go. Okay, number 29 to be going on with. Let's stand as we sing. Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
From the book of Malachi, the last chapter of the Old Testament, chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. Short and sweet. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun be righteousness, arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves at the stall. They shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgment. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Short and sweet. Excellent chapter. That is the one, verse 5, the promise of the Lord to send Elijah the prophet, who was, as the Lord told the apostles, John the Baptist. If you can take it, he said, if you can take it. I'm going to take a minute or two, speaking of taking things, and just open the floor for any prayer requests. So if anybody has any, put your hand up and let me know what it is. I will write it down. No prayer requests. I have one. I asked that you would pray for Norman, but it's actually multiple prayer requests. And I'm going to tell you the reason why in just a second. But if you've gone down the side of the church, you'll see the stained sheets up on the wall. Did you notice them? Just on that part of the church there, there's new stained sheets up. It's not quite finished, but we got that up in a couple of days. It took us about a day to figure out how to get it done. And then we got as much done in the half a day, really, as we got done in the whole day yesterday. So God was good whenever we prayed and said, Lord, show us how to do this. And everything just went so quickly after that, with a few wee changes. I pray that you would ask for your prayers whilst we get to replacing the fence down the side of the church. Please do keep praying about a wee bit of land, a wee bit out of that field there, for the church as well, if you would. And do pray for Will and Christine and Marianne and Dr. Shane and Frank. Do pray for John and Catherine and the family. And Carol and Stephen, we did well with Christine, Colin, I pray for Colin as well. And for visitors, is there anything else you want to add to our prayers? Excellent. I take it we all still have private prayer requests, yes? 1, 2, 3, 4, that'll do. You're up, John, thank you. Okay. The Lord knows what those are. Anything you want to let the Lord, or want to let us know that the Lord has been doing for you? Definitely been helping us. Normally he's still talking and we're still getting work done, so he's helping us whenever we're working together all day. But, thank you. Amen. Right, we'll have a brief prayer and then we will continue and sing another song. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you, Lord, again, that we can come into your presence. We can. You've told us to come into your presence, Lord, and just tell you, just empty our hearts to you. And I pray you, Lord, this day, that you would hear our prayers, Lord, and grant our prayer requests. Pray very personally for the stuff that we're doing over the next few days around, in and around the church, for your wisdom and guidance and strength. I pray you, Lord, for the stuff that, for the things that are going on in our country, especially for the elections that are coming up. I pray you, Lord, that you would hinder all those that oppose you and hate you, Lord, and bless those that love you and support you and your people. I pray you for America as well at this time, Lord, for Israel too, for all the countries of the world and the leaders of them, Lord. We are commanded to pray for them. And I know, Lord, there's a lot of fighting and there's a lot of people losing their lives at this particular time because of everything that's going on. And I pray you please, Lord, for the saving of lives. Most importantly, for the saving of souls. And another chance for folks. Just thank you for your many helps. And Lord, please don't stop. And I thank you, Lord, that we're able to do stuff and speak to stuff and just do what you would have us to do. And I pray that wouldn't stop either. Thank you, Lord, for our personal victories and the things we've been able to move ahead on. And I pray, Lord, for more, especially in the good weather, Lord. Let us make hay while the sun shines. Lord, thank you most of all for your Son, Christ Jesus. And Lord, for this little bit of time we've set aside from the world. Please grant our private prayer requests according to your will. And for all those names that we have on our prayer list, Lord, whether they need saved or helped, I pray you, Lord, for them too. For all those that have been and gone, Lord, I pray that you would draw them close to you. And Father, most importantly, we just want for your will to be done.
We love you and thank you. And we ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Amen. Amen. Oh. And we have another hymn in the hymn book to sing. Which one was it? 414. Was it 414? 414 in the big books. It's stand up for Jesus. So we'll have to stand as we sing this one. And there are four verses. That's good. Let's do that one.
Thank you.
we are taking our Bibles, if you would like to take and turn to the book of Daniel this evening. Book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. And we're going to spend a little while this evening on the subject of faithfulness. Daniel chapter 4. We're going to begin reading at verse number 28. And we're going to read on a few verses into Daniel chapter 5. We want to spend a little bit of time on the subject of faithfulness. We appreciate the reading in Malachi. It is interesting to note just how much of the Old Testament prophecy still has to be revealed even today. The Old Testament prophecy just wasn't there for the Gospels and for the Lord walked on the face of the earth. It's still there for us today. All right, Daniel chapter 4, and beginning at verse number 28. The Word of God says, "All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, 'Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honour of my majesty?' While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, 'O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee.'" Verse 32. "And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times or 7 years shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honoured him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, 'What doest thou?' At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honour and brightness returned unto me, and my counsellors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honour the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." Belshazzar, the king, that's Nebuchadnezzar's son, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall in the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. And we're going to stop there. Amen. Excuse me. We're going to take as our text, if you can call it that, that little bit, see between the end of verse 37 and the start of verse 1 in chapter 5, we're going to take that as our text this morning, or this evening. It's that little space there, that is going to be our text. There'll be a little bit of a build-up to it, and I hope this is a help to you. And we're going to be taking a little bit of time on the subject of faithfulness. Let's pray quickly, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, please, Lord, I pray for a bit of wisdom and quietness of heart as we spend this time around your word. And I pray for understanding for each and every one of us, Lord, as we consider the lessons that you have for us today. And Lord, whether it's this one or the remembrance of another or another scripture, please, Lord, take this time and do with it as you will this evening in our hearts and minds. We love you and praise you, Lord. Thank you for everything that you've done for us and continue to do for us. Please don't stop, Lord. Amen. 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 The book of Daniel, we're only four and a bit chapters in the book of Daniel as we hit this portion of God's word. There's been a few interesting things that have happened. First of all, it is the commencement of God's judgment on the whole nation of Israel for their constant and unreasoning abandonment of God. Nebuchadnezzar has been raised up by the King of Kings, and he has had the whole world given to him. Before we get to where we are this evening, Daniel and three of his brethren, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, are all taken as captives. They're all castrated, and they're put in the charge of the prince of the eunuchs. And they are taken because they look good, and they look smart, and they look like they can learn a thing or two, so that Nebuchadnezzar can make use of them and the things that they know. One of the first things that happened was that the king wanted to make sure that all of the people that he was going to make use of were well fed and watered, and so he would give them the wine and the meat that came from his kitchens. And Daniel and his brethren, the wine, and not supposed to drink alcohol, and the meat was most likely pork or maybe another one of the unclean animals. And they asked the prince of the eunuchs to give them water and pulses, like beans and lentils and stuff like that. And to cut a long story short, after a little bit of back and forth, that's exactly what happened. And a couple of weeks later, Daniel and his brethren appeared to be fitter and healthier for not drinking wine and not eating whatever it was that was brought before them from the kitchens. That was the first thing that happened, first thing of note. The second thing, after Daniel and his brethren were established and brought into the company of Nebuchadnezzar, was that there was a great summoning of all the wise men in Babylon, because the king had a bad dream. And he couldn't, it troubled him. And he said, get all the wise men, bring them here, and tell me the meaning of my dream. And they said, right, king, tell us what the dream is. And the king said, you're going to have to tell me what even the dream was, because I've forgotten it. Maybe he was actually wanting to test the wise men to see if they had a connection to the gods, as Nebuchadnezzar would say. But they couldn't do it. And so the king said, you guys are just not what you claim to be. And he commanded them all to be put to death. So Daniel found out about this, maybe as the soldiers were rounding up to kill him, and he asked for a day, and he went and prayed to God, and God gave him the dream, and he gave him the answer to the dream. And even away back here, just over halfway through the Bible, maybe about 3,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, we have our first introduction to prophecies that we are living in today. And that was the great statue that the head of gold and the
the chest and the arms of silver, and the belly and thighs of brass, and the legs of iron, and the feet of iron mingled with clay, and a rock that rolled down and crushed them all, turned into dust, and the wind blew them away, and the rock grew to fill the whole world. And as the years went on, Daniel had more dreams and dreamt of animals and one thing and another, and they all reflected these kingdoms. And he said to Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, this is the dream, and this is what it means. You're the head of gold. You're the most beautiful and glorious of all of the world's kingdoms. However, it will go to the Medes and the Persians. And we read at the end of Daniel that that's exactly what happened. The Medes and the Persians came in. In fact, not too long after where we are right now. But after the Medes and the Persians, we would have the Greeks. That would be the belly and thighs of brass. And after the Greeks, we would have the Romans, the legs of iron. And today we have the revived Roman Empire in the feet of iron mingled with clay, partly strong and partly weak. As we see today, it's pretty much the lands that are covered by the EU today. And we know how well that's going at the moment. And everything looks to be hunky-dory. Each one of these kingdoms will usurp all of what went before them. But there's one more kingdom, which is the rock made without hands. That rock, of course, being Jesus Christ, which rolls down, destroys everything that went before it, and grows to fill the whole earth, fulfilling the promise in Isaiah where it says, of the increase of your kingdom there shall be no end. So we have that. And then a little bit later, Nebuchadnezzar, still learning where exactly he came in the order of things, he made a great big statue. And he said, whenever you hear the music, everyone is to bow down. And if you don't bow down, you'll be thrown into the furnace. And of course, the three brethren are thrown into the furnace. We all know that. And Nebuchadnezzar was so mad, he says, heat it up even more. You could just see someone working the bellows to make the heat go even hotter in the furnace. And the men that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in, the heat was so bad it killed the soldiers. And everyone remembers what happened. There was a fourth man in the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar looked at him and said, that's the Son of God. And so that brings us just pretty much up to this chapter, which contains another dream. And that's a dream of a great tree. A tree with roots that went deep and branches that spread out, and the fruit and the leaves and the branches were for the housing and the feeding of all manner of animals. But there came along a wood feller, and the tree was felled. But there was a ring of brass put around and about it, and it talks about feathers and the trees and the nails and this, that, and the other. And Nebuchadnezzar asked Daniel what it means. And Daniel said, it's for your enemies. In other words, this is your downfall. And he says, that great tree is you, O king. You that have spread your boughs far and wide, you nourish many peoples, and many peoples live in the tree or live off of you. But the tree is going to be felled. You're going to lose your reason. Everything will depart from you. Your power, your glory, even the people, your popularity, the desire of people to have your company. And it'll be 7 years before you come to yourself again. And in those 7 years, his hair grew like eagle's feathers, and his nails grew out like claws, and he ate grass like an ox. Until on the seventh year, he looked up and he admitted that God was bigger than he was, and he got his reason back again. Everything came back to him. And one more thing. He came back as a humbled man, prepared to admit that there was a God and he could never beat him. And that brings us right to the end of verse number 37, and there's a tiny little gap. And between the end of verse 37 and the start of chapter 5, I am sure a certain amount of time had passed. 5 years, 10 years, 1 year, I don't know. But a certain amount of time had passed. Nebuchadnezzar has passed away. His son Belshazzar now sits on the throne. And this is where we meet Belshazzar for the very first time. And Belshazzar is having a great feast, and he commands the vessels from the synagogue, the vessels that were sanctified by God, which have been captured by the Babylonians and brought in, bring them in and we'll drink wine out of them. In other words, a big up yours to God and see how that works for anybody. And as he was doing that, did you ever hear of the old saying, the writing is on the wall for you? This is where it comes from. Because as you read on, they have to go to Daniel because it was written in, I think, in Hebrew. It says, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, and it means your kingdom has been numbered, weighed in the balances, found wanting, and given to the Medes and the Persians. And it was that night that the kingdom fell to the Medes and the Persians. But I sort of always wondered what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Whatever happened to Nebuchadnezzar? You know, there are some fantastical things that happened a lot of times to Nebuchadnezzar. And they don't stop with the end of Nebuchadnezzar. We read on about Daniel being thrown into the lion's den, courtesy of, I think it's Darius the Mede, after he's been manipulated by Daniel's rivals. And then we read more of Daniel's dreams, those creatures that emulate the kingdoms that were mentioned in Nebuchadnezzar's dreams. And we even have, I think it's in Daniel 11 or Daniel 12, the promise about in the latter days, knowledge would be greatly increased and men would travel to and fro. But here, and I want to tell you, it is neat to be in the presence of a miracle or something that God has done, so that just to be there, just to see it, or even better, for God to take and use you and work through you to make things happen. It is crazy. It does great things to your faith in God. If you're not careful, you can start living looking for those things all the time. But it bolsters and encourages you. It lets you know that our impossible God is able to do impossible things in our lives. But there's no more mention of anything for Nebuchadnezzar. And I got to thinking, what exactly did Nebuchadnezzar do with those last years of his life before his son took the throne? What do people do? We go to church, work a job, we eat, we sleep, we visit with friends, we fellowship, we eat, sleep, do a job, we raise families. We go on holidays, on excursions. We entertain ourselves. And as Christians, there should be a few extra sprinkles on top of that particular piece of pie. We might have opportunities to speak to people about the Lord. We get to read our Bibles. We get to draw closer to God. We live our lives a little bit more sensibly than the yahoos that are out there. We be faithful to what God asks us to do. I know as we read these things, sometimes we get to thinking that if miracles aren't happening, that you're not really a Christian. You ever heard that? If miracles are not happening in your life, well then you're not a Christian. But I say to you, Nebuchadnezzar probably had years of just walking with God, communing with Daniel, learning about God, because certainly Daniel had shown himself to be servant of God. And the Bible
doesn't record any other issues, any other problems that Nebuchadnezzar had. I believe Nebuchadnezzar, he learned, and I am sure as we look at his son was just a pagan, he may have tried many, many times to speak to his son, to the man that was going to rule the kingdom after him, having had that experience and understanding that God is much greater than he was, maybe begging that Belshazzar would come to his meetings with Daniel. Maybe praying for Belshazzar that he would wise up, and maybe all of his wives and all of his other sons and daughters. Because the last thing written about Nebuchadnezzar is verse 37. These are the words of Nebuchadnezzar. He said, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the kingdom of heaven, the King of heaven, all whose works is truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." But that doesn't sound like a lost man. That sounds like a man that found God and understood exactly where he stood. I believe that's King Nebuchadnezzar's testimony. And until the day he went to heaven, there's nothing else mentioned. I believe that was his testimony. I'm not trying to preach him into heaven. I believe Nebuchadnezzar got saved. He was already a great man. He had a kingdom that spanned the whole world, and he had the power of life and death over thousands and hundreds of thousands. And that's good, if it's used properly. But these are not the things that God is looking for. He's not looking for your power. He's not looking for your money. He's not looking for your talents. He's looking for your faithfulness, your ability or your desire to turn up in the throne room of heaven and say, "God, here am I. What can I do? Not for you, that you can't do for yourself, but what would you want me to do?" And you're able to do that when you understand that the world does not revolve around you or me. It revolves around God. And things work out for the best whenever we are in God's orbit, as close to God as we can get. If we were honest, we need God for everything. We just don't understand that we need God for everything. I am, goodness, I'm going to be 59 in about a month and a half's time. 2 months' time. And sadly, over the years, I have heard some very, very, very sad stories that tug at the heartstrings about people that have passed away suddenly. Lives have drawn to a close very, very quickly. And what I have drawn from that is, we can't say, "Tomorrow we'll do this." I know Norman and I did. We have made plans to pull a fence tomorrow, Lord willing. We need to understand that it is God's will that we have the time and effort to do something tomorrow. The Lord is not looking for people to stand on top of a mountain and to call fire down on our enemies. He's not looking for that. Although he enabled his men to do that in days gone by. He is not looking for people to open the earth and swallow all of our enemies. He's not looking for that either, although he enabled men to do that back in the days as well. He certainly doesn't need anybody to make a dry patch across the River Foyle, because we've already got three bridges across the Foyle and one down there in Strabane that goes across it as well. He's not looking for people to be able to do that. Or there was one other instance when I think that the Lord put the clock back 10 degrees. I don't know what that amounted to. Was that an hour? Was that 2 hours on the sundial? I don't know. But at one point, It was a sign that one of God's followers asked for him, put the clock back an hour. And he did it. God's not looking for all of that. All of those things were God working through men. God is just looking for souls to repent of their sins and to trust in Christ for eternity. And each day, that's what God's looking for from us. To trust him. To talk with him each day. To read a bit about him each day. To tell other people about him each day if you get a chance. To use what we have in the service for the King of Kings. Make a joyful noise when you can. Give as the Lord commanded and go where he says we should go and do what he asked us to do. And the great thing about it all is that he'll never ask anything of us that we can't do. If he'd asked me to put the seed sheeting up and to pull the fence, I'd be saying, well, Lord, I'm not quite sure how to do that. So he asked Norman. And I'll be able to hand the stuff to Norman. That works fine for me. And every one of us has things that we can do. And God may indeed ask you to use them someday. He wants us to read about him because there's stuff in the Bible we need to know. And that's just the long and short of it. There's stuff in God's word that he needs for us to know. Our place in the universe, especially as a child of God, he needs for us to know that. Not to keep us down, but to lift us up and to enable us. It's good to know that I'm not just the son of John and Kathleen Bradfield, but I'm the son of the King of Kings. I have a, would you call it a destiny that is greater than just being the pastor in Bethel Baptist Church? I'm going to sit in the throne room of heaven someday at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm looking forward to it. And God asks us to take and be Christians. Use this stuff in our lives. Be a living example, a living sacrifice even. Might never be known outside of Derry, outside of the street that you live in as a Christian. You might never be known that way by people. They might not say when they see that Liverpool top or Man U top nearly insulted John at the back. They might see John with the red, it is Man U top, isn't it? The Man U top, say, that's John that goes to church. And there might be a few people that know that. And that's fine. But I'll tell you who definitely knows about you. And that's God. He knows everything about you. And he appreciates and loves you. And wants you to be his children. To act like his children. Maybe that's the way. I don't know about you. If you talk about fortune telling, or football, or films, or games and toys, most times you will engage somebody in conversation and they will maybe happily talk about that subject for hours. But whenever you start talking about Jesus, you're going to make a few ripples, maybe even the occasional splash, honestly. People are going to go, ooh, that's different. And it will go unnoticed, maybe even unwanted by a lot of people. But your faithfulness, that's all God asks you for, your faithfulness will always be noted, remembered, and even rewarded by the King of Kings in heaven. Your faithfulness. Not how much you can do, but that you're prepared to do whatever God fires at them, fires in your direction. We're all different. The Bible refers to us as hands and feet and eyes and ears, as we're all parts of the body of Christ. And every single one of us has different things that we can do. And all that God asks for us to do is to be faithful with him. That's it. You will find, as you're faithful with what God has given you,
he will give you more to be faithful with. And there is literally, when I say there's no limit, I don't mean you're going to turn into Superman and fly through the air and leap small buildings, leap tall buildings in a single bound. You can go as far as you want in your Christian life and do as much as you want for God. That's entirely up to you. Just be faithful. I'm stopping there. Thank you for your very good time this evening. God bless you. Amen. We have one hymn to sing. John's pick. God be with you till we meet again. Hymn number 19. Thank you, Mrs. Bradford. Hymn number 19 in the wee black book. If you're fit, folks, let's stand as we sing. God be with you till we meet again. This is our closing hymn. Very appreciative. Very much appreciative.
Let's we'll bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for bearing with us, for your great patience, and for your love for us, Lord, and your patience and your long suffering. Lord, please see us safely home and back at the next appointed time. And please be with us, Lord, in our left hand and our right hand, above us and behind, below us and behind us and in front of us, as we head out into the world. We definitely do need, please be with Israel, with Donald Trump, with Nigel Farage, with all the leaders around the world, Lord. And I pray you, Father, for lives to be saved, for souls to be saved, Lord. And Lord, we just love you and thank you. Please don't be done with us, Lord. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, according to your love. Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we are dismissed. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.